welcome.
Wow, who's here?
No. The man of God. Amen.
Bless you. Hallelujah. You're loving Jesus tonight. If you're loving Jesus, you can be seated. If not, stand up so I know who you are. Okay. Hopefully you're all truthful, but prophet will find you out. But we are in an interesting season. Come on now. You know what God told me about? He showed me this year, and especially next coming months, he told me a shift is coming. And he said the shift, you know, he said the shift will be either one way or the other. But he said, no matter which way it shifts, there's going to be open doors for ministry. So the thing is, we need to pray for the right shift. But even if we don't think it is the right shift, we need to look for the open door, not at the circumstances. Come on now. Now, you know, I want you to pray, I want you to vote, and I want you to read the book and know who to vote for. That's all. You know, I think I can say that as a minister. Come on now. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I am desperate. I need friends. So if you're on Facebook and haven't befriended me, type in Preacher Woody Woodson, and I'll keep you on as long as you're nice. But I have some fun, and I'm about ready to become a Twitter dude. So it will, you know. Pretty soon you can kind of follow me on the Twitter deal. And it's amazing because when it comes to technology, I try to keep up with the Amish. And but, you know, I'm waiting for them to get an iPhone so I can get one. My wife and my son has everything. So, but if you've got your Bibles, well, you can go meet me in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll be there in a little while. But we're going to have some fun tonight. How many of you understand? Anywhere God is, it's fun. Come on now. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Even when He corrects you, even when it's unpleasant, it's still good. It's always good. If God's speaking, it's always a good thing. Come on now. And one of the things that God spoke to me about this coming year is that next year, he told me, would be a year of recovery. And in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, it talks about how David encouraged himself in the Lord. How many of you understand, until you're encouraged, you can't recover anything? And many of you, you may be in a season where you just got to encourage yourself. Come on now. And maybe not everything's working the way it should yet. But encourage yourself in the Lord. And then it says that he inquired of God, and God said, pursue. Pursue the enemy, and you'll recover all. How many people understand there's no recovery in passivity? Come on now. And if we're going to recover, we're going to have to pursue. Come on now. We're going to have to overtake the enemy and take back what he's stolen. Come on. Not only from our generation, but for many generations. It is time to see that the church rise up and become aggressive again. Come on. Because honestly, you know what bothers me about the church is the spirit of the Antichrist has blinded people to who they really are. You know, I was speaking last night on this and God showed it to me. You know, so many people talk about giants. But you know, we are the giant. The church is the giant. We are the sleeping giant. You know, they talked about 1 John 4 where the spirit of the Antichrist tries to diminish you, but then it goes on 1 John 4, 4, the greater is he that's in us. Come on now. The greater one's in us. The giant is in us. Come on now. We are the giant. And we are called to take a promised land. And we're called to live in giant houses. And we're called to have giant fruit. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because we are the giants. Come on. And until you see yourself as a giant, you'll see yourself as a grasshopper. So I want to talk today about some vital things we need to know in order to succeed. Because one of the things, I got to teach people how to win. Because you were destined to win. You know, too many times the church teaches people how to cope instead of how to conquer. God, Jesus never taught people how to be good losers. He taught us how to overcome. Come on, faith is the victory that overcomes. Amen. He told us that we must never think of ourselves as victims, but as victors. And we're not trying to get the victory. We're coming from a victory. From faith to faith, from glory to glory, from victory to victory. We can't be defeated. Come on, the enemy cannot defeat you. Only you can defeat you. That's when you disconnect from God. Come on. But see, with God, nothing's impossible. And we must be understand nothing's too difficult for God. And if you believe anything's too difficult for you, then you don't believe God lives in you. Okay. But see, the only way things are going to change for you is when they change in you. Now, see, that's what I want to start off with, is because until the picture on the inside changes, nothing else. Everything is about the image. And that's why in 2 Corinthians 3, it talks about with unveiled face we behold Him. And we're changed from glory to glory into the image of God. Into the image. Come on now. See, how many people understand? God wants to change the picture on the inside. So everything on the outside can change. Because literally, as a man thinks within himself, so is he. If you can't see yourself healed, you'll never receive your healing. If you can't see yourself prosperous, you will never prosper. Come on now. If you can't see yourself as the head, you'll always live as the tail. And how many of you have ever noticed that life smells better from the head? And life looks better from the head. So if life stinks, you've been living, you know, God just wants to flip you. Come on, somebody. Do you hear what I'm saying? I believe as we change our mind, renew our mind to who we really are. See, God wants to introduce you to you. See, when you got saved, you didn't get a new start. Don't ever believe that. You got a new life. If you just got a new start, you'd blow it all over again. Christianity is not about us starting over. It's about God living in us. We live by the life of Christ. Come on now. It's no longer me who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. Come on. I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not a new start. It's a new life. It's the divine life. Come on. It's God in us, the hope of glory. And what God wants to do is reveal who we are in Christ. Because once you know who you are, you can be who you are. That's why so many churches, they'll preach holiness, but they'll tell the people that they're sinners. That's like saying you're a dog, act like a cat. It ain't going to happen. The truth is, we are different. We no longer are slaves to sin. We got God on the end. We've been made the righteousness of God. And when we sin, it's not like us anymore. Right. When you awaken to righteousness, you sin not. Come on. And the more God begins to convince us, does this make sense to you? See, how many people understand? God wants to have you have an encounter with Him. That gives you a revelation that causes a revolution. I mean, Paul was a persecutor of the church until God knocked him off his high horse or camel or whatever it was. He said, what did he say? He said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. He said, the next thing out of his mouth is, what do you want me to do? If he's Lord, we got to do something. Come on. If he's Lord, see how many people understand when you have an encounter with God like that, you go from being persecutor of the church to being someone that will eventually be apostle. Come on now. It's amazing how one encounter with God can change your life forever. Gideon had an encounter with God when he was chicken little. hiding from the enemy, fearful. And you know, God never calls you. He never speaks to where you are. He speaks to your potential. He calls forth the real you. So when he saw Gideon, called him valiant warrior. Come on now. You know, God will never call you sick. You may call yourself. He'll never call you. He'll always call you the healed because that's your destiny. Come on now. He'll never call you poor. He'll call you rich. Come on. He'll never call you weak. He'll call you strong because as far as he's concerned, when you tap into what he's saying, he calls things that are not as though they are. And when he called Gideon, you know, basically valiant warrior, told him, begin to prophesy over him that he would be a deliverer. You know, it wasn't a long period of time. We're going to come to a season of suddenly revelation. How many people understand God can open your eyes, give you one idea, and everything changes suddenly? One idea from heaven can change everything. You know, God can give you a dream. You know, I've shared this, you know, with my son. You know, it amazes me because, you know, when God began to open them up into the revelatory thing, he's a genius, but there are a lot of geniuses out there. A lot of smart people. And, you know, he's met with them. He said, they say, what makes you different? He says, because I'm anointed smart. It's not just education, it's revelation. And he said, I positioned myself to see what you can't see. You know, he's in one of the top schools in America now. And he said, Daddy, in the first couple of weeks, he said, you know, they had me doing these silly little programs. And he said, I got bored with it, so I decided to reprogram what they were doing. They gave me an assignment, but he said the robot was, he said what they had, it was going like at 5 miles an hour. He said, I turned into 120 miles an hour. It says a whole lot more fun. And, you know, they're freaking out. They said, we didn't know it could do that. Well, see, we how many people understand? Just because we don't know it doesn't mean God doesn't know it. And he wants to give us his thoughts. How many of you understand God has never had a new thought? Never. Think about that. God has never said, I never thought of that before. No, he's all knowing. He's always known everything. He's known the beginning. He's known the end. He doesn't think like we think. We discover things. He already knows it all. Come on now. And he's trying to get his thoughts down to us. If you ask God, what are we going to do? He doesn't say, I don't know. Never thought of that one before. He already has the answers for every problem the world will ever have. He says, call unto me. I'm going to show you things you know not. I'm going to open your eyes. I'm going to bring you into a place. And as you renew your mind, God begins to drop his thoughts in. He begins to give you ideas and witty inventions. And whoever controls the ideas control the wealth. Money follows ideas. Normally, when you pray for God, pray God to meet a need, he gives you an idea. We expect him to drop money from heaven, but if he did, it'd kill us. He drops in an idea. Come on now. Amen. And that's why he wants us to renew our minds. Come on. He wants to anoint our things, to see things. Come on. And some of us, we just need to wrestle with God until we get it because we're slow. Remember when Jacob had the wrestling match with God? How many of you ever have had a Jacob moment? I have had it. Where I said, God, I know I'm called to be Israel, but I'm living as Jacob. I'm deceiving myself. I know there's so much more, and I don't know how to get there other than grab hold of you. I can't change myself. If I could, I would. But I'm going to run and grab hold of you and say, God, I'm not letting go of you until you bless me. Until you bless me to such a degree, I'm never going to be the same. Come on now. You know, and in one night of wrestling with God, One night, it didn't take a long time. What did God say about Jacob? You'll no longer be Jacob. You'll no longer be a deceiver anymore. From this moment, you're going to be Israel, one who rules as a prince. Sometimes one encounter with God. Come on now. One encounter with God can change everything. And I believe we go from encounter to encounter. You know, I believe there's moments, defining moments in our lives. You know, I know, you know, in my son's life, year, you know, 4 years ago when he lost his stupid little science fair, it was a defining moment. He was ripped off. He knew it. He said, Daddy, mail order projects beat me. They didn't even change it. He was so frustrated. And I remember he said, Daddy, I quit. I'm not doing this anymore. And I got in his face and I said, number one, I said, God gave you a brain to bring in new ideas. And you are not the owner of that brain. You're the steward of it. You have no, if you have a talent and you bury it, other people's lives are affected by your laziness and wickedness. That's what Jesus said. So I didn't let him off the hook. I played sports all my life, so I was the coach. I was in his face. And I said, son, you will not quit. And next year you're going back to the same place they ripped you off. And you're going to do something they've never seen done before. And they're going to have to call people from the outside to figure out what you've done. Well, I didn't know how much I was prophesying. I said, God's going to give you a dream, son. And 3 weeks later, he had a dream of an algorithm. I didn't even know Al Gore had rhythm. It was a miracle. But, you know, algorithms, I know enough about them that the probability charts there. There's, you know, I know most of the computer, most of the security, almost everything's run off of algorithms. That's about as much as I know, but I know some things. But the bottom line is, 3 weeks later, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks, whatever, he woke up in the middle of the night. God showed him something. He was struggling. He said, God, I know there's a way to make this thing faster than it's ever been. I know there's now, he had an algorithm he was studying, but he said, God, I know there's something that can tweak this and change the whole complex of what the computers, how they run. And when he saw it, he actually just, in the middle of the night, he had a dream. He saw it, and he woke up and just wrote down what he saw. And then he developed it in the next, as a 10th grader, he walks into a place, just a normal little tiny high school science fair, where they submitted this stuff. It was an Intel science fair. They submitted the stuff to Intel. Now, some of the, I believe it was vice presidents of the company, they saw just his little thesis. And they said, we didn't know that could be done. And the rest of it changed everything. You know, a couple of years ago, he decided he wanted this. He loves weather. He was studying it. He thought, you know, but he was going looking for maps. They weren't fast enough. So he developed a website that's the fastest, world's fastest generating map site, weather map site. In fact, you know, actually he came into my office and he said, Daddy, he said, I've been studying something. He said, you know, in the last days, the earth is going to be in travail and there's going to be earthquakes and all this stuff. And he said, there's going to be really weird weather patterns. He said, I can make money off that. And he is. Come on now. See, I believe if you're a seer, come on now. See, how many people understand the crying need of the hour is visionaries. God wants to anoint our eyes to see. Come on now. He doesn't want Christians to be blind. He wants us to have the ideas. Come on now. He wants to give us creativity. He wants to literally, he doesn't want us to be stuck. He wants, anywhere you're stuck, it's because you're not seeing what you need to see to get unstuck. The number one call of a Christian is to see. You must be born again to see the kingdom. And in fact, in order to be born again, blinders had to be removed. You had to see. You saw Christ before you ever heard the gospel you saw. You know, most people can't see when opportunities and prosperity comes. It's not that it's not coming. I believe God wants to take the blinders off the church. Come on, does this make sense? See, we need to focus on our relationship with God. If you focus on your relationship with God, see, Jesus only did what he saw the Father do, and all he did, he just did what he saw. And I'll be honest with you, every one of us is doing what we see. So we need to see more. Come on. In every arena, we need to see more. And we need to be able to understand God's not just limited. Thank God he's not just limited to church activities. He wants us to take over the intellectual activities. He wants us to take over the entertainment. He wants us to take over everything. The whole message of the kingdom is not that we fit in, but we take over. And the way we take over is flesh and blood did not reveal that to us, but our Father which is in heaven. We have the ideas, and those ideas will even cause the world to come to us. If you have a dream from God and they're living a nightmare, they're going to go to the dreamer to find out how to get out of the nightmare. Oh, some of you going to get this. You know, people say, you crazy, but I'm happy. Taste and see the Lord's good. You know, the problem with the church is we're not inhaling enough. You know, we had a president say he smoked something but didn't inhale. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. I mean, you know, you can tell when someone's inhaling because they got that little, whoa. I can tell in church where we got the inhalers. You got the fakers and you got the inhalers. Those who really experience God, like, whoa. And then there's the pretenders. God wants you to inhale, man. Inhale his presence. Come on. See, if you want to see something you've never seen before, you must be willing to do something you've never done before. And be honest with you, one of the keys to seeing is climbing a tree. So the key is he was a little short. He had to reposition. He climbed a tree. Well, we've all had to climb a tree. It's called Calvary. Be honest with you, until you understand Calvary, you'll never be in position to receive. Come on now, because God gave it all to us. Come on. At Calvary, the enemy was defeated, and honestly, we were equipped. He provided everything through the cross for us. Everything. Everything literally paid the price. He became a curse with our curse, that the blessing may be given to us. Come on now. When you understand what God did on Calvary, you can sit in heavenly places, and the only way you got there is you went through a tree. Come on now. It's a family tree. You know, your natural family tree may have been cursed, but now your supernatural family tree is blessed. Does this make sense? See, personal growth is about transformation, not just information. Come on. You must know how to apply what we know, praise God. And your outside world is always a reflection of your inside world. Found that out. You know, if you live from the inside out, you're always happy. Come on. Kingdom's on the in. It's in us. It's in us. It's in us. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Come on. I mean, by through the Holy Ghost. And there's no sad Holy Ghost. Come on, there ain't no sad Holy Ghost. It's religion sad. But you know, you get around God, he'll make you glad all the time. He'll put a new song in your heart. Come on. See, if you don't like your outside world, change your inside world. Because out of your heart flow the issues of life. Come on. And the more your heart begins to flow, the more, you know, how many people understand, let God write on the tablets of your heart. You know, I believe when you begin to see and think God's thoughts and dream, the whole world will begin to know this, you're a dreamer. We're going to be like those who dream again, and then our mouths will be filled with laughter. I said, God, how come the church is so sad? He said, because they're not dreamers. They don't have a dream for the earth. They have a dream once they get to heaven. That's why they say, when we all get to heaven, what day rejoicing? Well, hell down here, baby. <You know? laughs> Come on. Well, that's not a believer's thing, man. It ain't going to take any faith to rejoice in heaven. It takes faith to rejoice down here. Come on now. And we need to begin to see what God sees in us. And then one of the ways you begin to change things is you meditate. You meditate. You meditate the Word. You keep meditating until you can see. You know, you keep speaking what God says until you can see, until you can see, until you can see. Some of you need to confess, I am a seer, God, praise God, that the eyes of my heart are enlightened. I thank you, God, you're open, that I can see. I can see my inheritance. I can see what I'm supposed to, I can see my part. I can see my portion. Come on now. I can see what you want to birth in me, through me. Come on. You know? It'll get you so excited you'll get beside yourself and like the other one better. See, biblical meditation is the key to getting the Word from your head to your heart. There's a confession of faith. There's a confession unto faith. And what many times is people mess it up because they think they're confessing something, but they're really not. Because they think, well, you know, this stuff ain't working. Well, you know, it first works on you. You know, there are things I know. I know what the Scripture says, but I also know I'm not there yet. So I keep saying it, 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 keep trying to envision it, keep meditating on that. You know, when I was sitting in the wheelchair several years ago, and I saw myself running. And I kept meditating until and every day that vision was getting stronger and stronger. I wasn't ready yet to run, just jump out and run. But I was building. And then the day came. The day came. Come on now. See, you can speak to the mountain all you want to, but until you uprooted the doubt in your heart. And it won't obey you. But when the revelation finally hits, come on now. When it's something that's been revealed from the Father, it's not just the words of a book, but it's been written on the tablets of your heart. When you speak to that mountain, it has to obey you. Come on. Does this make sense? You know? Some of you are going to get this stuff. You know, some of you are going, ha. You'll think yourself happy. See, everything in the Christian faith is manifested from the heart. When God opens the Scriptures to us, He causes heartburn. Yeah, have you ever been there? A fire shut up in your bones all of a sudden. Yeah, I love that. I always tell people, I say, if what you have you can contain, it's not God. And I can always tell where someone's anointing is in because they can't shut up about that area. My son will give me more information than I want to know about certain things. I love this about intellectuals. You can ask him a simple question. It's a yes and no question. And for the next hour and a half, you are learning the history. And who cares? But he does. But that's his anointed area. Come on now. And you know, with me, it's like me when I get around preachers or I get around business. I love business people. I just get around them. I just love people that are pregnant. I love visionaries because people that are pregnant, you know, when you're pregnant, you get around someone else, you got something in common, baby. And you get around visionaries, it causes your baby to leap. Come on now. Hey, we about ready to birth something. And we know we may not have the same kid, but we got the same father. Come on now. Hey. I love idea people. I love visionaries. I love people that see a future and see a hope. You know, if you can't see a bright future, you got a miserable present. Come on. Does this make sense? And you begin to realize that one of the keys to living this way is relationships. You know, you want to operate in faith, get around faith people. You want to be around vision. You don't even have to get around visionaries in your own arena. Just get around visionaries. You know, I meet with people that some of them are Fortune 500. Well, one of them is producing a full-length film that will come out next year. I get around these people, and man, I just love being around them. They stretch me. You know, because they're kingdom-minded people. They're influencers. And see, I love, you know, even when I got married, I didn't marry someone just like me. I already got me. How many of you know you normally marry the opposite? Opposites really attract. Why? Because the very thing that you're not, they are. See, they complete you. And the very thing you love about them is also the thing that frustrates you the most about them. Yeah, my wife is a super organized person. I mean, she has a plan about a plan about a plan. I always tease her. I say it takes her 2 weeks to do anything spontaneous. But I'm like spontaneous combustion ready to happen all the time. It's like, ha, you know. And, you know, we're a really interesting combination. And sometimes it's iron sharpened iron, but at least we're sharpening one another. You know, sparks can fly, but that's okay. Then there's fire. Come on. At least it's not boring. And I love being around people that will sharpen me. See, Proverbs 13:20, it's a very familiar scripture. It says, you walk with wise men, you'll be wise. You walk with fools. It didn't say the fools will suffer harm, it says you will. Let me show you how this happens. You know, and this is a sad thing, but I have a friend in Maine whose son is a wonderful kid. I mean, he was a straight-A kid, you know, all throughout high school, good kid, didn't drink. He was just a nice boy, you know, and he didn't have a deep relationship with God, but he did have a relationship. One day he's walking home from school. Some kids he knew weren't good kids were driving by in the car. They asked him, they said, you want a ride? And he thought, what harm would it be to just let them drive me home? They said, and they'd say, well, we have to stop at a convenience store first. He didn't think anything about it. They stopped at the convenience store, and they end up robbing the store and shooting the clerk. He was sitting in the car, didn't know what was going on until he heard the gunshot. In that particular state, if you are in the vehicle, there's a minimum, basically, sentence that there's no way you can get out of 5 years. You're an accessory to the crime. So he spent 5 years in prison, even though even at the trial, the two kids that were convicted said he had nothing to do with it. He was just with fools, but he suffered harm. Come on now. You know, I found associations are everything. You know, there's certain things you can't totally disassociate with. I mean, there's some family members you can't. You don't get a chance to choose your family. But you know, but there are people you don't want to hang with. You know what I'm saying? Because you hang with them, you're going to hang. You know what I'm saying? I want to be around people that are going to make me better. Come on, do you hear what I'm saying? See, what I found out is that the anointing is transferable. It comes. It comes from up close contact. You know, Elijah had Elijah. You know, Joshua was Moses' servant. I see Jerry Savelle. He worked for Brother Copeland. I see Brother Copeland. He worked for Brother Roberts. Billy Brim wrote, you know, for Kenneth Hagin. I mean, everything just seems to rub off, rub off, rub off, rub off. Hang around that which you want to rub off on you. Come on now. You know, I've learned. I said, you know, I serve something. Serve someone that you want to hang around. My son loves to hang around, you know, the best thinkers, the people that are way out of the box. You know why? Because he's rubbing off on them. They're rubbing off on him. Come on now. There's an elevation going on. Amen. And many of you, honestly, God is just trying to bring us to that place, you know, where all of us, and that's what the fivefold ministry does. It should be equipping you to do something. Come on now. I love being around faith people because they don't allow you to have a pity party, a party with a pit. This makes sense. See, you know, one of the things I've learned is you've got to be desire to be a dreamer and a visionary. You got to. Without a vision, people perish. How many of you understand that you'll never be your best without a vision? You know, you'll never be disciplined without a vision. You know, I love my son because, you know, he'll tell you where he's going to be in 8 years, and he'll do that. You know, 4 years ago, he told me where he'd be right now. That's where he is. I was with Miles Monroe, who's done a lot of teaching on the kingdom. We went to Oral Roberts University together. And you know, I'll never forget, he would sit down and we'd talk about our futures. And he said, well, I'm going to go back to the Bahamas and I'm going to birth a great church, and I'm also going to raise up. I'm going to be using the education. I'm going to be using the government. I'm going to reshape third world nations. And you know, he would talk about the things, and you know, 25, 30 years, that was 30 years ago, and he's doing exactly what he said. He was a visionary. Everything starts in a picture. God's always trying to show you a picture and say, do you believe it? If you believe, you'll see the glory of God. Do you believe you can make a difference? Do you believe your life can change for the better? Do you believe you can be used by God? Now, you know, some Peter hung around Jesus. When he saw Jesus walking on the water, the first thing that went through his mind was, I didn't know I could walk in the water. If you meditate enough on the scriptures, you understand Jesus said, the works I do, you shall do also. And so anytime I see Jesus doing something, I can do it. Now, don't try walking on the water unless the disciples have the boat. Jesus didn't walk on the water to show off. He walked on the water because he had to get to the other side and the disciples had the boat. Come on now. Now, Peter, when he saw Jesus walk on the water, he knew he needed permission. So he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. What was he going to say? Ain't me. I guarantee you Jesus got tickled with that question. Yeah, okay, Peter. It's like, Jesus, may I? All the other disciples had just backed off in fear. Hey, I want to do that. You know, God wants some of you to get that adventure back. Come on now. Some of you, you're never too old. Too many people say, I'm too old or I'm too young. There's too many people with too many excuses. That's why. You know, my stepmom, 3 weeks ago, she decided, she's 82 years old, and she contacted me. She said, I'm going skydiving. Always wanted to do it. 82. So I called her up. I said, you sure? She said, I'm sure. She said, you know, if I die, I know where I'm going. If I don't die, it's another thing I can mark off the list. And she made it. She, you know, I don't know what she's going to do next. Well, I'm glad she's still living. In more ways than one. She not just existed. You know, she knows the thrill. Come on now. And what God wants to do is he wants to give old men dreams, young men visions. Come on now. But he wants every one of us to see something because in that seeing, there's restoration. And what we're seeing is not just for us. God never just shows you something for you. When he shows you something, it will bless other people. Or he'll show you something where you can stand against evil. He'll never show you evil you cannot stand against. He'll never show you good that you won't birth. Sometimes what God will do is he will show you something where you have to press in Because you know there's an idea there and you're seeing something, but it's not clear yet. But you know, that's your realm, baby. I love it when you have vision. Because without a vision, life stinks. I've shared this before when I was at, I won't even say which one it is, but I almost did. But I had a roommate that didn't bathe. Well, he bathed once a month whether he needed to or not. And we worked out every day together. And it was bad. And the sad thing is I could have whooped him, but I never told him he stunk until one day. We were in church. And it used to be miserable in church because we were, I've always been charismatic ever since I got saved. And he'd lift up his hands and, when the wind was blowing a certain way, it was bad. It was just bad. It was wrong. Well, you know, that day it was awful, man. I just had to hold my breath the entire time. And I thought, you know, at the very end, though, we were about ready to sit down. He looked back, about four rows back, there's this beautiful girl. He had a vision. He looked at me, he said, "Do you know that girl?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Will you introduce me?" I said, "No." He said, "What do you mean, no?" I said, "You stink." He said, "What?" I said, "You smell bad. You stink. You going to scare her." Well, you know, the next week, I don't think he went to class. I think he spent the whole week in the shower. It amazed me he wasn't all shriveled up by the time he got, you know what I mean? But when he lifted his hands in church, we had revival. I mean, the whole place, it was like, whoa, God's in the house. See, vision makes everyone else enjoy you more. And at the very end of worship, you know, people usually sit in the same seats. Have you ever noticed that? I have this thing. I really believe they rub their scent into their seat. Because I've seen people, when someone's sitting in their seat, it's like they start sniffing like, "Didn't you smell? That's mine, baby." But anyway, you know, he looks back, the girl's four rows back where she normally is, and he said, "Now will you introduce me?" I said, "Yeah." And you know, the amazing thing is a year later, they were married. And you know, I'm good friends with him to this day, and he hasn't stunk since. But without a vision, life stinks. Come on now. And sometimes we're between visions and life seems to be stinking, you know. But ask God, show me the next chapter. Show me what I'm supposed to do, God. You know, give me a reason to get up and be my best. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? And when you begin to dream and you begin to vision, you know, then you should begin to plan. Because if you don't write the dream down, you'll lose it. You don't write the vision down, you'll lose it. You know, I found out something. When you're stuck and you don't know what to do, just plan. Because Proverbs 16:1 says, "The heart of man plans his way, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." Why? Because it takes faith. It says, "I believe there's a future." God came to Oral Roberts, you know, one time, you know, spoke to him in prayer and said, "I want you to build Oral Roberts University." He didn't show him what it was going to look like until Oral planned. My wife wrote for Oral for years, and we saw the original plan of Oral Roberts University. It was 5 log cabins. ORU! With bunk beds. And that's what Oral presented to God. Said, "Okay, God, I'll build you this." And the Bible says God sits in heaven and laughs. And the result was God gave him a whole different picture. And it's what's out there now. But God wouldn't have showed him if he wasn't willing to plan. "Commit your works to the Lord, your plans will be established." I dare you, put down where you see yourself in 5 years, and then God will order it. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. He'll direct your paths. Come on now. See, I found out one of the keys of being a visionary is God's not going to give. He won't give you every little thought. He gave you a brain. But if you'll use your brain, He will direct your thinking. And He will elevate it. Come on now. Is this helping somebody? And I'm telling you, if you don't have a plan, go home and start planning. Because nothing's going to change. Failure to plan is planning to fail. You know, God wants to paint a picture. And you know, I found out something. You must be there in your mind before you ever get there in your body. You got to see yourself there before you ever get there. So when you get there, you've been there. Am I helping you? I'll give you a few more things tonight. But, you know, redeem your time. Well, I found out men without a plan, they waste time. You know, what I do in my time is everything's planned according to vision for me. If it doesn't fit in the context of vision, even if it's a good thing, I don't waste my time with it. People don't understand that. But she say, that's not my assignment. I'm not hanging with it. But when you don't have a plan, you basically stretch yourself in every direction and never get anything done. God wants to give you a heart of wisdom so you can number your day. He says, redeem the days. You know, redeem your time. The days are evil. One thing about time is everyone has the same amount of it. Because I don't have enough time. You have as much as everyone else. Come on. You know, there have been times I've complained with guys, I said, God, I'm preaching 40 times this week and I'm in like 26 different cities. How am I going to do this? Oh, God, how am I? He said, you made your schedule. Okay, give me some grace, God. Come on now. Yeah, just get real. God will be real with you. Every day is filled with opportunities. Look to discern between what is good and what's God. Come on now. And you know, hang around, again, hang around people you want to be like priests, like people. You know, my son's a visionary, I'm a visionary. He's a visionary in the area of bringing new technology. I'm a visionary in terms of what the church should be looking like. Come on now. I'm like a dream. In fact, he calls me, he said, Daddy, you're a dream coach. And that's really what I am. I'm a dream coach. But he said, Daddy, all you want to do is make everyone else's dream come true. I said, that's my dream. Come on. There was a time when I was a player. Now I'm a coach. When you're a player, you're only one. When you're a coach, come on now. You can multiply yourself many times over. Come on. Amen. And I enjoy just coaching people, begin to discern their gift and speaking into their gift. Come on. I get them verbalizing. I get them, you know, basically talking about what they want to see. Dreaming out loud, then dreaming on paper. Come on, somebody. Am I helping someone? See, be a lifelong disciple. What I want is culture changers. God wants us to disciple nations. He doesn't want you to do a little thing in the corner here. He wants you to change the whole way people see things. My son has things in him. He said, Daddy, if this idea comes, it will change the way almost every major computer program will function. And you know, there's things he said, I can touch it, I'm just not there yet. But it's a hunger. You know, God wants us to come in, He wants us to change the culture of our society. Not that we fit in, but we take over. Come on now. You know, when I was the first one saved in my family, and there was like almost 100 relatives that were alive at the time. And you know, my family was a pagan family when I got saved. Now when we have family reunions, everybody knows God. Everybody. You know what I'm saying? The whole culture has changed. When they used to use the Lord's name in vain, they're all praising Him and talking about what God's doing. Many of them are in leadership in churches. My brother's a pastor, you know, and you know, my dad was an elder and I led them both to the Lord. You know, it was just like, you know, all this, but we changed the culture. We're called to be elements. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. Come on, somebody. Am I helping someone yet? I just want to get you so hungry it's ridiculous. All of life is about influence. That's all it is. If we're not influencing, what are we doing? We're called to be the salt of the earth, which means we're called to mix with dirt. So don't get so freaky, you know, holier than thou, where you don't even touch the world. You can't change it if you don't touch it. You know, you're called to be a catalyst. That means a catalyst is any element that changes everything else around it, but it's not influenced by the come on now. We're in the world. We're not of it, but we are the light of the world. Come on. Do you hear what I'm saying? And God wants to give you creative ideas. He wants to give you, He wants to make you, He wants you to be able to go into the Valley of Baca and make it into a spring. Come on. He wants to cause you to change things like never before. God wants to increase. He wants some of us to pray like the prayer of Jabez. Increase my boundaries. Increase my borders. Increase my influence, oh God. You know, I'm at a point in my life where I said, God, we got to make a difference. We got to make more of a difference. We got to change our culture. And one of the things I want to do is I want to change the next generation. I don't want to just change my people. Most people my age, I don't even like hanging with because most of them are old. Get me around teenagers. Get me around people in their early 20s and 30s who actually think they have a future. who have energy to get out of bed. Come on. Now see, honestly, old is just happened, you know, and when as long as you have a vision, you're prime time. Without a vision, that's when you get old. I told this story before when I was teaching Victory Bible students. We had a man there. He was 96 years old named Brother Sizemore. And I'll never forget him. Seitzer, actually. And I'll never forget Brother Seitzer because he was a man of faith. He actually enrolled for 2 years of Bible school when you're 96 years old and paid up front. That's faith right there. You know, and I'll never forget because I had one rule that no one can interrupt me because in the morning session, and we had like 500 some odd students. And, you know, at the end, I'd take questions and answers, but not while I'm teaching. But when you're 96 years old, you don't play by rules. I always tell myself, I can't wait until I'm old enough. When you're really young, you can get away with anything. When you're really old, you can get away with anything. In between, you got to behave. So I was looking forward. I said, God, I believe I'm going to be 120 years old. For the last 20 years, I'm going to have some fun. I won't say what I'm really thinking. Come on, somebody. Well, anyway, I was teaching class, and Brother Sizemore stood up, and for a 96-year-old man, standing up is an accomplishment. And he said, I found my ministry. I'll never forget. He's shouting it out. I found my ministry. I thought he lost it, man. I was about ready to say, about time, dude. But I knew he wasn't going to shut up until I asked him. I said, okay, Brother Sizemore, what's your ministry? He said, I got a ministry to old people. I said, I can see that. And then, you know, he said, I didn't know, but for the next 5 years, He preached 10 times a week at every nursing home in Tulsa. His daughter, who was in her 70s, she would push him in the wheelchair to nursing homes because he didn't want to show off by walking. Then he would stand up and say, "Old people, listen to me." And they all were young enough to be his kids, but the bottom line is he didn't know he was old. His youth was renewed like the eagles. And when he was 101 years old, he moved. He may still be somewhere preaching right now. But the vision, come on now. He became prime time again. Some of you, God just wants to make you prime time again. Come on. See, leadership is everything. Only leaders can transform people's thoughts, beliefs, and actions. Anytime, you know, I'm still praying for even politically in this nation that we can have someone that could weave a picture that people can believe in. You know why? Well, you know why Martin Luther King Jr., you know why he still lives on today, at least his legacy does? He painted a picture. And when he spoke it, anyone except for dumb people could see it. It was the way the world was supposed to be. And it changed everything. You know, I can think of some presidents in my lifetime. When they came in, it was a mess, but they painted a picture. And they were consistent to live by the principles of the picture they painted. And everything changed. God wants to raise up people like that in every arena. He wants to show you a picture and then he wants you to conform to it. Last thing, and I'm going to pray for you. We need to know our identity in Christ. That's what it's all about. It's when God shows us a picture, it's who we are in him. It's why we've been born in the kingdom for such a time as this. It's why you were born. Some of you were born to bring ideas, and some of you are born. You know, my son's not going to be like me as a whole. He's not really a lot of smart people are not people. You know, I mean, he's not going to teach Dale Carnegie. He's not. But you lock him in a room with ideas, he'll change the world. You know? Why? It was what he's born to do. And you're never happy unless you're doing what you were born to do. And every one of you, God wants to give you a picture and says, this is your life. You may not be there yet, but if you keep believing it and taking the steps you can take towards it, one day what you saw will be what you're living in. But not only will you be living it, other people will partake of it because you walked and you grew into your destiny. It's called the kingdom. But God brings heaven to earth. He puts new thoughts in us. He transforms us by the renewing of our mind. It's no longer our thoughts, but they're his thoughts, and they're higher than ours. And all of a sudden, we got something we're living for that's way beyond us. And it's good in this life, and it's good for eternity. Come on. I want every head bowed, no one looking around. It's the way we do in America. I pray if you fall asleep, God give you a dream. If you're snoring, it's working. No. I need to ask a couple questions tonight. First question I need to ask, and you know, is there anyone in here? You know, you really can't have God's dream without having God. So if you know, if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, the only way to the Father is through the Son. The only way to have God come to live in you is to invite Christ in you. Come on. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one can come to the Father but by me. Is there anyone here today? Maybe you walked away from the Lord. Maybe you've never received Him as Lord of your life. And you want it tonight. If that's you, raise your hand. Just need to make it. Everyone know you're saved? Nod at me if you know you're saved. How many of you tonight would say, you're talking to me. I need to see more. Maybe you need a healing in your body and you just believe in God. You know by His stripes you were healed. So we're actually not even trying to get healed. We're trying to get in the position to receive what God's already done for us. You know, I knew I was healed when I was in the wheelchair. Everyone else thought I was something else. But I knew. I said, I knew that that healing was already mine. It wasn't. I wasn't trying to get healed. I was just trying to get manifest in my body what God already did. But I already knew it was mine. I was laying hold of it by faith. How many of you need a breakthrough in some area? Maybe you say, I want you to pray for me that I'll be able to see. I'll be able to see beyond what I'm seeing right now because I'm stuck because I need to see more. You know, I mean, I need revelation, knowledge, and Lord, I don't want to be just stuck on my own understanding because I'm not that smart. You know, and God, what God say? Call unto me, I'll show you. I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. He said, I'll take you beyond what you know. I'll take you beyond. I want to show you things you don't know yet. It's knowledge that was reserved for you, but you got to call for it. If you want prayer, I want to pray for you right now. Is that okay? Come on up. Come on up. Come on up.